Well, hey, y'all. I love starting off services with baby dedication and like baptisms. But I'm looking at this baby dedication and I'm like, hey, I'm super like this one. Not only because it's all cute and everything, but I'm looking at the stage and I'm like, yeah, there's a little diversity up there. And So I know y'all, you just prayed for me, Dennis, but Avery, I'm going to be praying for you. Now you know how I feel. Like, just when you go and visit, you know what I'm saying, your wife's family for Christmases and stuff like that, it's different. Y'all, white people are different, you know? But we love you. Y'all love us. Just be ready to eat a bunch of casseroles and everything, man. Come on, there's differences, you know what I'm saying? But it's awesome. I love y'all. Before I put my foot in my mouth any longer, what's up, y'all? My name is Richard. I am senior pastor here at NBF, and I just love y'all. And I'm just sitting there thinking of, just a good way to bridge, just the perfect words to bridge my intro to the sermon. And I just don't want the perfect words. I just want to let y'all know that I love y'all. And I'm super glad to be here with y'all today. And I genuinely, genuinely mean that. So God got some super special stuff in store for us today. And he's going to use me to do it. And so, again, he's going to use me to do it, which means that I ain't doing it. It's all him. So how about let's pray that God will soften up our hearts so we can get into this word. Let's pray. It's all about you, Father. We pray, Father, that we will decrease, that you may increase, Father. Forgive us of our sin. We pray, Father, that we will just have our eyes fixed on you. It's all about you, Father. Thank you, God, so much for using us to advance your kingdom. Soften up our hearts, God, so we can hear the word, understand the word, apply the word, and then reteach the word to the world. It's all about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen. Now, for some people might say that the greatest baseball movie of all time is Field of Dreams. Some people may say Major League. Some people may say Moneyball. And if you ask my mom and my sisters, they would say A League of Their Own. I was born in 1985, raised in the 90s. And so if you ask me what was the greatest baseball movie of all time, y'all make a guess, it would be what? The Sandlot, probably one of the greatest movies of all times. For those who's been living under a rock and in sin, let me tell you about what The Sandlot is all about. So The Sandlot is about a kid named Scotty Smalls, just moved to a new town. He needs some new friends. He manages to make some friends, but all of these guys care about is baseball, 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 baseball. One day, Scotty didn't know too much about baseball. His stepdad had a signed baseball by Babe Ruth. He took the baseball, hit his first home run with it over the fence. Well, over the fence lies his huge dog. And at the end of the movie, they defeat the dog. They get the ball, right? So let me back up real quick. At the beginning of the movie, Smalls doesn't know how to play baseball at all. The kid sucked. He was terrible. And like he didn't know how to throw the ball nor catch the ball. And because of that, the kids didn't want anything to do with him except one kid, Benny the Jet Rodriguez. Benny the Jet Rodriguez shows him how to play baseball. And from there, this is where we're going to get our clip. So let's check it out.
You ever have a paper out?
I helped a guy once.
Okay. Well, tuck it like you would throw a paper. When your arm gets here, just let go. Just let go. It's that easy.
How do I catch it?
Just stand there and stick your glove out in the air. I'll take care of it.
About time, Benny. My claws are going out of style.
They already are, Squints.
Shut up.
Told you, Benny.
Smalls, throw it to second.
Okay.
Not again. It's a waste of time, Benny.
Please catch it.
told you so, man. Okay. Let's play some ball.
Yeah, let's play some ball.
All right.
Yeah,
I knew it. All the time. Yeah.
If I had enough time, we would watch this movie twice before we went home. All right? Check this out. Smalls would have never learned how to play baseball if it wasn't for Benny. None at all. Benny told him exactly what to do, and he said, hey, release the ball here, stand here, hold your glove up in the air, and what? I'll do the rest, right? So hear this, church. Should Smalls go outside of the instructions that Benny the Jet Rodriguez gave him, then Smalls will go outside of the blessings of learning how to play baseball. Again, if Smalls would have did the opposite of what Benny told him to do, Smalls would have never received the blessing of learning how to play baseball. Go outside of the boundaries, you go outside of the blessings. See where I'm going, church? Our God is a good God, and he desires to give abundantly to his children. Like, that's who God is. God gives abundantly to his children. In Romans 8:32, now it's talking about God. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but deliver him over for us all, how will he not also with him, again, in addition to Jesus, right? In addition to God the Son, freely give us all things. Our God is not a God who gives sporadically or gives, you know, or gives sparingly or gives reluctantly. That's not God at all. God isn't the one who just barely gives you some or doesn't desire to give it. Like, he wants to bless his children abundantly. Anybody that's willing to give his own son freely will surely give us all things. Matthew 7 says, ask and this you will be and it will be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be open to you. It's God who gives the blessings. It's God who reveals or illuminates the lost blessings, you know? And it's God who opens the door. But check this out, church. Hear this. If we want to be recipients of God's blessings, then we must position ourselves within the bounds to receive his blessings. Benny told Smalls, hey, do what I say. Release the ball here. Hold, stand right here, and I will do the rest. God says, hey, church, in order for you to receive the blessings, what I want you to do is to let go of whatever I tell you to let go. Stand right there, hold your hands up in the air in praise, and watch me do work. And then once you do that, you will catch blessing after blessing after blessing that I have for you. See, blessings, that's a fun deal, right? A lot of times, and I don't know if y'all know this, and y'all see me a lot of times I don't talk about blessings because that's just me. That's a Richard Marx thing. I think I kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater with this whole prosperity gospel movement. And God goes, whoa, wait a minute. Like, I do indeed bless you here on earth. Like, and you need to talk about that. You need to understand that. And God led me to the Beatitudes, and I'm like, oh, you do kind of bless us like crazy, right? God rocked my world the last couple of weeks. And I would just pray that God will rock yours. Man, he wants to bless us like crazy. But in order for us to receive his blessings, we have to be within boundaries to get his blessings. You can't go in the bathroom, turn on the water, turn on the shower and be like, yo, I'm taking the shower. You got to get underneath the water to let the rain, the water fall on you to take a shower, right? In order for you to receive God's blessings, you have to position yourself to receive the blessings. And so God gives us a very, very specific ways of how to receive his blessings. If you got your Bibles, y'all, turn to me to Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It's called the Beatitudes. And in this passage, Jesus tells us how to position ourselves to receive his blessings. Y'all cool with that? If you ain't cool with that, there's God who does it anyway, so sorry about that. All right? Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Jesus, seeing the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and when he sat down with his disciples came to him. Verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, now this is where we're at, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Someone who is poor realizes that they can't provide for themselves, right? Now think about in everyday life. If they poor, they realize that they can't provide for themselves. And because of their deficiency, because of their inability to provide for themselves, what do? They lean on others to meet their physical needs. In this passage, it says that if you want to be blessed, then you must be poor in spirit. So what does that mean, church? Poor in spirit means that you are constant, hear this, you are constantly realizing that you are unable to provide the things that your spirit requires. There is freedom and there is blessings for you to realize, I don't have what it takes to provide for my soul. But a lot of times, what do we want to do? I don't know. I got it. Let me do this. I can do this. Let me rely on my own understanding. Let me rely on my own power. Let me rely on my own knowledge. Let me rely on my own experiences. And whenever we do that, we get outside of the covering of blessings that God has bestowed on us. And we're like, no, we do it ourselves. Hear this, church. Whenever you're not poor in spirit, you're the exact opposite, which means you are proud in spirit. And whenever you're proud in spirit, you are saying that I am okay with being independent with God. But last time I checked, man thinking that he can be independent from God is what caused, which what made sin in the world in the first place, right? Adam and Eve was like, oh, well, if I do this, I can be like God and I don't have to rely on him. I can do this for myself. Yo, let's get independent. Sin into the world because of it. James 4 said, God repels from the proud. But does what? He gives grace to the humble, to the poor in spirit. So, church, here's my first point. To experience the blessing of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, we must become spiritually poor, spiritually bankrupt. How do we do that? How are sometimes we are proud? Whenever we are actively choosing, like, oh, you know what? I'm cool with praying. No, I'm cool with not reading the word. Oh, no, I ain't going to small group right here. No, I ain't going to be a part of church right here. The more and more things, like, we neglect, like the things that's supposed to feed our spirit, the more times we neglect it, the more we are claiming our independence from God. Now, you probably won't say in your mind, you know what, today I'm going to be independent from God. But if you're going to be like, no, you know what, forget reading my word. Yo, forget, you know, being a part of the local body. Yo, forget praying. Forget all of this. You are claiming your independence in those actions. And whenever you're doing that, you're not being poor in spirit. And whenever that happens, you are not underneath the covering of God's blessings. Y'all smell it when I'm stepping in? Do you want to experience the kingdom of heaven here on earth? You got to be spiritually bankrupt. You got to be spiritually poor. Moving to verse 4. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. One of my favorite songs, Hillsong United, they sing a song called Hosanna. And during the bridge of that song, there's a lyric that says, break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Children of God should mourn for the things that God mourns for. Consider this. The shortest verse in the Bible was what? Jesus wept. Now check this out. Jesus wept because his children's hearts were broken because their friend and their brother Lazarus had died. Church, if sin hadn't entered the world, Lazarus would have never tasted death. Never. It was never God's original plan for man to taste death. None whatsoever. We were meant to live forever. But check this out. Jesus saw the crowd weeping because they had to deal with their brother dying, which is due to for the consequences of sin. So Jesus wept because his children had to experience the consequences of sin, and he wept because of it. Jesus is like, this is not what I meant it to be. This is not how I created it. Not at all. But because of sin, because of your choices, you have to experience this. And it broke God's heart, and he wept because of it. Make no mistake, church, God constantly mourns over the state of our world that's filled with sin and the consequences of sin. The question is, do you mourn for the things that God mourns for? Or are you indifferent? Does racism plague you? Does it mourn you? Does abortion mourn you? But let me go alongside of that. One out of four women by the age of 45 received an abortion. And these women are feeling lonely because the church, who is supposed to come alongside them, offer them love and grace and acceptance and tell them about God's forgiveness. A lot of churches ain't doing that. They're like, oh, I can't believe they're doing this. In the meantime, these women are mourning. And the church is not coming alongside of them and loving them. Are you mourned? Does that mourn you? Does sickness mourn you? If the answer is no, then we just removed ourselves from the covering of God's blessings. Check this out. Whenever you mourn for the things that God mourns for, it means that your heart and his heart is aligned. And what does it say after that verse? It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be